Moncrief on News Talk.
Ukraine has been taking a significant battering in the last 12 months. Just yesterday, Russia launched 300 kamikaze drones at the country. We're joined by the journalist and author David Hamlin. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon.
Could you describe for us what is a kamikaze drone?
So the sort involved in these attacks, it's a type called a Shahed. They were designed in Iran. They're now mass produced in Russia. It's got a wingspan of a couple of meters. It's triangular in shape, weighs about 200 kilos, and it carries a 50 kilo explosive warhead. But these are actually very low-tech, basic things. They're made of composite material, and it's got a two-stroke engine. So it putters along at low speed, and the Ukrainians call them mopeds because you just hear them puttering along through the sky, and then they drop out of the sky and destroy whatever is underneath them.
How much do they cost to make?
So the big advantage of these things is that they are so cheap. They're about $50,000, which is extremely cheap. The Russians are also firing cruise missiles, but those cost several million each. So they can turn out these drones in large numbers. As you say, there was about 300 launched last night. They're up to, whereas you see last year they were firing 300 a month. Now it's 300 a night. And that's likely to go up. One analysis says that's likely to go up to about 2,000 per night. So you're really talking huge numbers of these cheap drones coming over.
And how many of these can the Ukrainians shoot down?
Well, that's an extremely good question. A few months ago, they were getting 90-95% of them every night. Now it's more like 80-85%. Because you can only cope with so many at a time, and because the Russians are always refining their tactics. The Ukrainians are improving their defences, but obviously it's a big challenge.
Yeah. Now, the way they fire these drones at Ukraine, is there a strategy to that? Did they come in low? Did they come in high? Do they hang around and change direction?
They have done all of these things. Early on, they were coming in at really low altitude. They were like flying down river valleys and at treetop height to avoid the radar. Now they come in at much higher altitude in order to avoid ground fire until they actually reach the target. They tend to take very snaking paths. They will can circle around and approach a target from behind, and they tend to get fired in waves of several, and the Russians will then see what happens to one wave and then decide where they want to put the next one. So there's a constant game of cat and mouse going on.
Why have the Russians seem to have switched their strategy, at least to the extent of relying hugely on these drones? Why is that?
That's because they've now realized that this technology of just using cheap drones allows them to saturate Ukrainian defenses and gradually wear them down in a war of attrition. Russia still fires some missiles, but they can only produce those in tiny numbers, and you can only do very limited damage with those. And also, they are easy to shoot down in the sense that one missile is easier to shoot down than 100 drones.
And while you can see it'll wear down the Ukrainian air defense, can Russia keep up this level of production?
Oh, they certainly can, and they are ramping it up, and that's likely to go up in the coming year. And unless someone succeeds in taking out their drone factory, which is located east of Moscow, they are very much going to increase production, and we're going to see a lot more of that. Ukrainians are producing a lot of attack drones as well, so there's a certain amount on both sides.
Yeah. Now, how many, out of necessity, Ukraine's arms production resources have increased over the last few years. How many can they produce? How many drones could Ukraine in turn fire back at Russia?
We would love to know. It seems that they seem to be trailing the Russians somewhat at this stage, but they're putting a lot of work into increasing that because they haven't got an effective air force, but they can hit with drones at long range. Also, their drones appear to be a lot better at getting through. The Russians seem to shoot down very few of those because their air defense appears to be basically ineffective. So Ukraine is being very effective at setting on fire Russian oil refineries, oil storage, hitting Russian air bases and attacking Russian factories. So they're really doing a huge amount of economic damage on Russia.
Yeah. Though at the same time, would it be your assessment that the ramping it up to 2,000 drones a day will surely give Russia an advantage?
It surely will, which is why Ukraine will be looking very hard at, can they hit the factory, can they hit drone launch or storage sites, or can they build effective interceptor drones, which is something they've been focusing on recently. So small, cheap drones as a way of bringing down the attacking drones before they reach their targets.
Yeah. A lot of this seems to be kind of within Ukraine, that the defense against these drones, they're relying largely on themselves. Will that be the case, or is the West, can the West provide them with anything that will be efficient in terms of defeating these drones?
As you say, the problem is the West does not have anything efficient. The West is very much geared up to shooting down expensive, high-speed, high-altitude things like missiles and jet aircraft. We're really not geared up to producing lots and lots of munitions to shoot down swarms of low-cost attacking drones, which is what Ukraine is facing. So we're very limited in what we can offer them at this stage. Mm-hmm. And the Ukrainians are asking for investment in their own anti-drone defense systems rather than handing over things like Patriot missiles, which are going to get used up very, very quickly.
Yeah, even if Russia reaches the point of launching 2,000 drones a day, at $50,000 each, that's a huge amount of money.
Not when you look at the amount of other kit that the Russians are using, and when you consider that something like a Kinjal missile is like $10 million a time. I mean, there is some seriously expensive kit out there, and yes, the drones will cost them quite a lot of money, but they will do an awful lot more damage. Drones are a very cost-effective means of attacking things compared to anything else.
And at the moment, are there signs, do you think, that it's having an effect, this strategy?
It was interesting. It had more of an effect in winter, because in winter the Russians were able to target Ukraine's energy network. So, and they took out something like 80% of the electricity distribution network. And that was causing really serious problems in terms of power cuts, which is obviously a big, big problem in a country like Ukraine in winter. In the summer, they've switched more to attacking basically civilian targets, apartment blocks, and just using it as a terror weapon to try and wear down Ukrainian morale. And that's having less effect so far. But the more the numbers go up, the more effect that is going to have, certainly.
How targeted are these drones in that? Can you aim them at a specific building?
You can aim them very exactly. They are basically GPS guided, so you can hit to within 20 meters of what you aim at.
My word. Okay. So they know where, if they're going to be launching at some stage 2,000 drones a day, they're going to know exactly where all those drones, or where they want them to go.
They know exactly what they're aiming at. And if they hit an apartment block, that's what they aimed at.
Yeah. Now, taking them down, where does Ukraine choose to take them down? Because, you know, imagine there's a, you know, if one gets as far as Kyiv or one of the cities and you take it down there, by taking it down, you could do as much damage.
Yeah, there's a big problem with drones getting shot down, because even if it's shot down, you've still got an explosive warhead on there, which is going to do a lot of damage to what it falls on. And it's difficult to tell how much of the damage is done by the drones that are just falling out of the sky at random compared to the ones that are hitting their targets. So, yeah, ideally you want to get them as far away as possible. But, of course, that's quite challenging.
How big can a drone get?
No limit, really, because a drone is simply an uncrewed aircraft. And the biggest ones, like the MQ-4 Tritons that the US Navy use, they're like the size of a small airliner. And those are used for very long-range patrols out in the ocean. And those can fly for a couple of days at a time. But those are comparatively rare and expensive, which is why we've seen in Ukraine the tendency has been towards much smaller, cheaper drones. I mean, the most common ones we see are these quadcopters, which are, you know, small enough you can hold it in your hand. And those weigh under a kilo and only cost about $500. But Ukraine is building literally millions of those.
Yeah. And is Russia producing all its own drones now? Or because there had been previously, they were getting some of them imported.
They were importing from Iran. They are mainly producing their own now. They're very, very heavily reliant on China for components. And supposedly they are setting up drone production facilities in North Korea. So it's quite possible that they will make efforts to import more drones in future. But both Ukraine and Russia are very rapidly building up their own drone production industries, which is really leaving the rest of the world behind. Nobody else has the capacity to build thousands of long-range attack drones like this yet. So really, they're in a new realm of warfare that no one else has reached yet.
Yeah. And the Russian facility that's producing the kamikaze drones...
Yes.
How, like, if you know where it is, obviously the Ukrainians know where it is, how easy or difficult would it be to hit?
They've hit it a couple of times, but the thing is absolutely huge. I mean, it's like 10 football pitches put together. It's a very big facility with a lot of people there. It would take a lot to destroy the whole thing. I'm sure the Ukrainians, having pulled off the Operation Spiderweb attack on Russia's strategic aircraft, I'm sure they're looking at a lot of plans and ways that they can hit the place and burn it down or otherwise thoroughly put it out of operation. But it's quite a big target, so it's not an easy one, but I'm sure there's a lot of minds working on that one.
David, thanks very much for speaking with us today. David Hambling is a journalist and the author of Swarm Troopers, How Small Drones Will Conquer the World. Few comments on this. Do the Ukrainians have these kamikaze drones or just regular ones? No, I think, as you heard David say, that they do have their own kamikaze drones, but probably not in the same numbers that the Russians can produce them. The poor Ukrainian civilians, the regular drones here feel ominous enough, just hovering there, and they're not even armed, says Colin. Well, sometimes they're armed with pizzas and various other things. Though they could appear to be sinister. Are the Allies giving the Ukrainians drones of the same standard? Well, it seems as if the Ukrainians are making them themselves because of out of necessity, really. And someone else says the drone thing paints a terrifying picture of future warfare. It's akin to the biplanes of World War One. Imagine how much more deadly these will become in the next 20 years. Well, indeed, imagine how deadly they will become, because one assumes it'll become cheaper and cheaper to manufacture them. And 2,000 drones, can you imagine how terrifying that must be? And even though they kind of make a little joke about they all sound like lawnmowers, I'd say that's kind of gallows humour.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.